Basketball is back and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Happy New Year and welcome to Believe in Celtics, brought to you by Bet Online. I am Warren Shaw and he is the great Gary Washburn, and we are your host and resource for everything Celtics this season. Gary, Happy New Year, man. What's going on?
Good, Warren. How's it going, man? Happy New Year. Hopefully everybody's having a good 2023 so far. Enjoying all the sports, all the crazy bowl games. I don't know if you know, big college football fan like I am, but, you know, just been a real entertaining sports week so far.
Yeah, man, it's a wild time of year. You know, the holidays, New Year's, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot going on, a lot for, again, the sports fans to kind of get into. You know, I think last time we spoke, you know, the NFL was made their entrance into Christmas Day and actually dominated, you know, those TV ratings, much of the chagrin of the NBA. So I'm sure, you know, that'll be something that they'll have to investigate moving forward. But in general, yeah, it's just an amazing time of year. And as Gary alluded to, we hope all of our listeners are enjoying their new year thus far. We definitely are enjoying it on our side. And, you know, Celtics didn't start off the new year with a win, but that's okay. You know, still doing very well within the NBA and the Eastern Conference specifically. And again, you know, we're going to get into all of that. So before we do that, you know, we'll just always, as always, make sure you're following everything on the Believe Network. Make sure you're following Gary on Twitter at G Washburn Globe. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Shaw Sports NBA. So before we get into the crux of the show, there's a little bit of, I don't want to say rumors, but some hints, a couple phone calls, I guess, have been made about one Peyton Pritchard. So that's how we're going to start today's show. We'll talk a little bit about those rumors, and then we'll go into some New Year's resolutions, you know, for the Celtics in the Geno Time segment of our show. But Gary, what have you heard on the Peyton Pritchard front? What's going on there? Would the Celtics really consider moving him, or do they just more or less need to keep him? I don't want to say for insurance, because I'm not trying to disrespect his skill set, so to speak. But in general, you know, where do we think he stands here in the future of the Boston Celtics for this specific season?
Yeah, it's a tough one, Warren. I mean, he's a guy who has, you know, had his moments with the Celtics, played a lot as a rookie. Last year, didn't play as much under Ime Udoka, and this year it's kind of been the same. I know, you know, it's like he played, you know, I think he got a DNP one game, the next game when I think Marcus Smart was out, he's in the starting lineup, and it's been a little unfair to him, a little inconsistent. But, you know, when you add Malcolm Brogdon, you're trying to go for a championship, you know, you can't think of, you know, sparing feelings here. So I am not surprised that other teams are interested, in Peyton Pritchard. He's a guy who can stretch the floor, play a little point guard. He's tough. He gets, you know, he's like a guy that can just run a team. And I think of the McConnell kid in Indiana, the guy who's just a damn pest. You know, that guy just, I mean, McConnell, Alvarado in New Orleans, one of those guys that just could be a, if you let him get some quality minutes, he could be a real pest out there, a guy who can make plays. And unfortunately, I think in Boston, it just hasn't happened yet. And, you know, having talked to Peyton over the last, you know, several weeks or whatever, like, he understands that it might not work out in Boston. Mm-hmm. He's seen guys like Aaron Nesmith be traded, Romeo Langford get moved, guys who were first-round picks. And have to play, let's say, for a team that's not as successful, the Celtics would get that quality playing time. As I think we've seen Nesmith now kind of start to flourish a little bit, start to find himself and get his feet under him in the NBA with the Pacers and making plays, and not, you know, maybe not that Desmond Bane kind of knockdown shooter that everybody wanted, but a guy who could defend and get that big dunk on Jared Allen the other day. But I think Peyton might see his future like, you know what, I might need to go somewhere else to get the minutes and to expand my game as I want to. And I think that that's just part of what happens when you have a team, when you're loaded, when you got depth, when you add, basically you add a Malcolm Brogdon. I mean, the Celtics could have easily, you know, and I'm not saying it would have been a popular move, Warren, but just said, okay, we're just going to run it back. We made the finals last year. We're going to run it back with basically the same team, and we're going to hope that Peyton Pritchard takes a step forward and becomes that backup point guard. And who knows? Would that have worked out? Would that have been successful this year? We don't know if, let's say, if you gave Peyton 18 minutes a game, how that would work out. But instead, they traded for Malcolm Brogdon,
right,
who is now kind of the, you know, sixth man. And so Peyton, that leaves Peyton as like the third guard. You know, and then also, you know, Warren, you got a guy kind of coming on the horizon for next year is like J.D. Davidson.
Yes, sir.
The guy that, you know, the second round pick, they really like him. He's in the G League now. He's getting those reps that they need, that they want him to get. And I think next year he's going to come into camp and he's like, hey, I ain't going back to Maine, brothers. I'm going to stay up here, you know? So I think they look and say, okay, they're kind of good at that position, but what would it take? What would you want in return for Peyton Pritchard? Would you want a – he was a first-round pick. Do you want a – I don't think they'll get a first-round pick in return. Those things are valuable. Do you want another role player, bench player? Do you want a shooter? Like, you know, what would Peyton Pritchard attract in the market, considering, Warren, he's not playing much? You know, yeah. you probably not a whole lot. And that's not a knock against Peyton. It's a knock that his resume doesn't have a whole lot on it yet. So I think the Celtics, I don't think there's something to think about, but I think come trade deadline. And now we're, what, 5 weeks from trade deadline, 6 weeks from trade deadline, the Celtics are going to start thinking about, okay, what do we want to do to enhance this roster? Do we need Pritchard on this roster if we can get, let's say, another shooter, another guy who could score? I tend to think that they need – they're not getting, and we can talk about this later, like they're not getting a lot behind besides Tatum and Brown right now. They're just not, right. You know, that Denver game, you know, they didn't get a lot, you know, those guys were, you know, damn near the whole team. So what do they need, another shooter? You know, what would it take? So I think there's going to be interest in him because he's a guy who I think, like, if you look at us at Alvarado, the success he's had, McConnell in Indiana, kind of a good guy. Everyone needs a guy to come off the bench and run a team. You know, is Peyton going to be a starter in this league during his career? Probably not, you know, in terms of a quality team. Can he be? I think he's capable, but he'll need some reps and some time. So I tend to think that the Celtics will be open to all possibilities. I think Brad Stevens is going to do whatever it takes to enhance the roster, because we talked about before, Warren, like, this is the year. I mean, there is no great team in the NBA. The Celtics have the best record. You know, would you be so frightened if they ran into Denver again in the NBA Finals? And Denver's now the number one team in the West, and I think they played a pretty tremendous game the other day, you know, against the Celtics to win. A lot of guys stepped up that don't usually. So I think the Celtics feel like, listen, when we're right, we can beat these guys. We can win the championship. So I think that there's a possibility he could be moved, but it would have to procure them something, that, you know, clear a roster spot for a guy to bring in, something like that, where it's going to do them. They're not going to move him because he wants to play more.
Yeah, Gary, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, and as you alluded to, you had a chance to speak with Peyton. So I guess my sense of it is, like, he understands the situation, right?
He knows what it is.
So he's not going to cause a problem, but understands that, hey, maybe at some point, even maybe this season before we get to the trade deadline, or maybe in the offseason draft, et cetera, that he may need to find another destination. Have you heard about any specific teams that are looking at him? Because as you're talking, I'm thinking, like, damn, you know, again, in that same role, where could he go? I could potentially see him behind Josh Giddey in OKC, you know, maybe a role like that too, you know, giving them some bench scoring. They have a lot of young guys who can score off their bench as well too, but I think Pritchard's maybe a little bit more competent than maybe some of what they have there too. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing out that as an example. Have you heard any teams specifically that might be sniffing around?
I haven't heard any teams specifically. that have just like, hey, we want Peyton Pritchard. Mm-hmm. But I do think that teams obviously look at each other's rosters and they see the guys, certain guys aren't playing, aren't getting a role. And I think that Pritchard's on the radar of a guy who could probably be had, because the Celtics are at this point going for it all, and Pritchard's not part of the rotation at this point. He kind of is here and there. I don't think it's very fair for Mazzulla to start him a game after he played like 5 minutes. You know, I just think that's puts him in a tough position. Or, you know, hey Peyton, we're down 13 points at halftime. Go out there with Luke Kornet and spark us to, you know, get a couple steals and get the crowd going and get us back into this. It's just a lot to put on a young guy like that. So I do think that it might be best for him, unless you're going to give him some minutes, give him a shot, you know, give him another chance somewhere else. And I said before, when you got guys like a J.D. Davidson, who I've looked at in the G League, and I said he's he's still 19, maybe 20, and he is getting those reps down there in the G League. And I said he's going to come next year, and they're going to look and go, okay, we can't have Peyton and Davidson and Brogdon. You know, something's got to give.
Yeah. So as you bring that up, you know, again, my mind starts to wonder, you know, salaries don't match, but I don't know if you look at Miami and see a Duncan Robinson, you know, a guy who supposedly was a shooter, you could figure out to match the salaries. You know, could you do a swap there? So I think they could probably use some different help.
Yeah, but Robinson makes $17 million. That's a thing. Robinson's on that crazy 5-year, $90 million contract. So if you like, I think the Celtics would love to have a guy like that, but I also think like you got to match the salary.
So, right. That's what I'm saying, for sure.
And I think Miami would love to, like, you know, move him, but that's what happens when you sign these guys to these long-term deals and then they don't work out. They're hard to move because you got to take someone else's bad deal back, or an expiring contract, or a team has to really like Duncan Robinson enough to want to pay him the rest of that deal. So yeah, you know, Peyton's still on his rookie contract. He's up for an extension this summer.
Yep.
You know,
Stuff like that would probably have to wait.
Yeah, I mean, is that going to happen? Is that going to, you know, it's a lot that's going on. But I do think, though, that he's somebody who probably feels like, I want to play, and I don't know if it's going to be here.
So conversely, and we'll wrap up the conversation on Peyton Pritchard here. Is he at the stage where would he be better served going to the G League? Or is that just too big of a slap in the face for him? Because obviously he can get the reps down there. He'll tear it up, so to speak. But is it better for him to just kind of toil with the big club, so to speak, and then as opposed to getting the reps, maybe even show a little bit of shine if he were to go to the G League in any capacity?
I don't think the G League, I think he's too good for that. I think that's something, you know, I think he needs playing time at the NBA level. I don't necessarily think he needs reps at the G League level. I don't know how much that's going to prove for him. But I also think they could give him an opportunity to play a little bit more. And at this point, Warren, like if Brogdon is struggling, if you know what I'm saying, like it could be a situation where you know, you want to give him maybe give Peyton a little bit more time, a little bit more burns, and see what happens. That's my opinion. And I, you know, Brogdon has been solid, not spectacular so far. You know, he's had some, you know, some glitches here and there. I don't think he's been great of late. I think I got off to a pretty good start. You know, but they need better Brogdon. And if he's not better, then why not give Peyton an opportunity, especially a game like the Denver game where nobody. Jalen was the only one who basically showed up to play. Right. You know, Jason was okay, nothing great, and none of the rest of the guys showed up. I'm sure that's the type of game that Pritchard says, like, why can't I get some burn here? You know, and I understand he's probably frustrated.
Well, hopefully Peyton will continue to maintain a positive attitude, understanding the situation, and the Celtics figure out a way to play him or move him on to a better destination, but still figure out a way to improve their overall roster. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break here. We'll be back here to give the Celtics New Year's resolutions here on the Genotime Celtics, Genotime segment of Believe in Celtics. We'll be right back. And on this week's edition of Genotime on Believe in Celtics, brought to you by Bet Online, we're going to discuss New Year's resolutions for this Boston Celtics team. So we won't go too in depth. You never know. You know, with me and Gary, we can kind of get off into the weeds a little bit. So we'll just pick one each, right? And I'm going to open the floor to you first, Gary. What is one New Year's resolution that you'd like to see for the Celtics?
I want
to
see them add another player to this equation. I want to see them add someone who can put them over the top. I think that you can try at this point, Warren, to make a run with this current roster. But I think as we've seen over the last, a little bit less than the last 3 weeks, there's some deficiencies there. The rebounding isn't quite there at times, you know, and some of the guys that they have that could perform are struggling, right? Sam Hauser struggling, Brogdon struggling, Al Horford just, you know, he's up and down, but he's 36, about to be 37 in June. That's what's going to happen. Grant Williams has been up and down. I think if you're a championship team, you add another piece to this equation. And I don't, you know now, do you sign a, and I've written this and people give me a hard time, do you bring Carmelo Anthony in? I'm just throwing that out there. Do you bring Dwight Howard in from Taiwan? Do you bring a guy in that could be a little bit of a risk, but the reward could be big? You could get that guy, could get you 10 boards in a game. He could get you, you know, a big play, a defensive play, or a big three-pointer. I think that you can't have too much at this point. And I think if you're the Celtics, and this is the year, we look at around the league, Warren, we see Phoenix is struggling. They're, you know, they got pounded by the Knicks. They're injured. They're struggling. You know, the Lakers are down. The Clippers are hit. Like, every team in the West is got a Detroit. You know, if Denver's the best team, I think if the Celtics, you'll take that, right? If Denver comes out of the West, I think the Celtics will take their chance in a seven-game series with the Nuggets. Okay, and we don't know. We'll see the Pelicans in terms of you know, the Pelicans come to Boston and next week. So that should be an interesting game. And, you know, the Celtics have already beaten Memphis. So I know that they come to the Garden, I think, Super Bowl Sunday. So we'll see some of the best teams in the West over the next couple weeks, Warren. But I think if you're the Celtics, and this is the year you make a move. My relatives is they make a move, another move, not just ride it out with these guys and cross your fingers that – Sam Hauser's going to get hot, or Brogdon, or Grant. Like, you bring in a guy that's proven, and if the, you know, and ready to go, ready to win a championship, and go from there. Because I think you've got some guys in that roster, like, who you got some spots. You know, Noah Vonleh just hasn't worked out. He hasn't played much. You got Justin Jackson, Blake Griffin. You know, you love him for his leadership. And you can play him here and there, but obviously, you know, they don't want to play him too much. They want to play him in spot moments. You know, so you got some roster spots available. And I know they got to make a decision on Vonleh and Jackson in the next week or so. But bring in a guy, and if it's embarrassment of riches or whatever, that's fine. If he doesn't play, he's going to be on a championship roster. But bring in a guy that you think can help your team get over the top. Do not be content with this roster that you put together, even though it's gotten you the best record in the NBA and the 26-11 record and all that stuff. We've seen over the last 3 weeks, Warren, the Celtics are not a flawless team, and they can use some help.
You know, I think, Gary, those are great points. You know, and the best championship teams are never satisfied, right? So Celtics aren't a championship team level. They're in the conversation. So they can't be satisfied with having the best record, you know, winning the Eastern Conference, even getting to the NBA Finals. It's about getting over that proverbial hump. And you're right. I think they do need some assistance, you know, in that, by in terms of some, not a roster overhaul, but definitely, you know, a roster tweak. and what are the things you can do on those edges. And it's interesting because I agree with you. They do need help rebounding. Maybe they need another big. Is it a stretch four type of player who can guide rebounding, can still fit Mazzulla's scheme of shooting the three at the clip that the Celtics are currently doing, you know, or veteran guys that you alluded to in Carmelo and Dwight. And I'm not quite sure where this is going to end up because, as you alluded to, because of the salaries that they could move, they're paltry and don't make up enough for maybe guys that they would actually potentially want, unless you have to wait till after the trade deadline and that proverbial buyout market.
Yeah.
And see if anybody is then becomes available. One guy who I think we've talked about some weeks ago or coming into the season and is still in the veteran ilk, if you will, is there any interest that you think the Celtics would have in finally making the reunion, a union with DeMarcus Cousins in any capacity?
Yeah, I think that is an interesting question. I think they're worried about more about the chemistry aspect of DeMarcus Cousins, but I also think that he's learned his lesson. I think his last few stops, he hasn't been an issue or whatever. And I do think they need some toughness on that floor. I think people were like, well, when Robert Williams gets back, they're going to be like, Robert is not a super high volume rebounder. He's more of a, you know, he's a defender, a guy who can score at the rim, but he's not that dude who's going to get you 22 rebounds or 18 right. boards or things like that. He's going to, you know, and then you also want to keep him on a bubble wrap kind of situation. You're not going to play him 30 minutes a game either. And so you've got that, and then you've got Al. Al, you know, I believe, you know, is kind of slowing down a little bit. He's had, you know, he has his moments. You know, he's steady, as Al has been throughout his career, a steady player. But, you know, to depend on him to, you know, to get you, you know, 14-9 every night probably just ain't him anymore. There's going to be some 7-6s. There's going to be a couple of, you know, there might be a 10-10 here and there. So I think if you got stability, and there's guys out there, you know, on the market who could probably help you who are kind of not playing in other rosters, who, you know, could be a guy you could move a Peyton Pritchard for, a guy who's not making a lot of money, who maybe went to another club and it hasn't worked out, a guy who could just, you know, gobble up some rebounds for you. I do think they need that big. And, you know, DeMarcus is a possibility, but is he a little long in the tooth? You know, he's got the knee surgeries. You know, he's had some injury issues, even though, unbelievably, Warren, he's only 32. I mean, which is just amazing. It seems like he's been around for 20 years, 50 years, but he's only 32. You know, but man, when you hit that 30, like I was watching John Wall the other night when the Clippers came in, and you could just see he's not quite like that explosion isn't quite there anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's hard because you see these guys. I remember seeing John Wall during the 2010 finals. He was working out with a bunch of other guys at UCLA. So me and some reporters went to see, you know, him work out. I think he was preparing. I think he was entering his freshman year at Kentucky. So it was like, whoa, okay, this guy is the future. Look at this guy, you know, just freakish athlete, runs the floor like a deer, gazelle. And now at 32, you know, you can see those miles. And the thing about DeMarcus, what will you ask of him? Can he play 20, 25 minutes? You know, I think with Blake there, I think they feel like, okay, they have that kind of their emergency big.
Right.
But like, I think your idea of a stretch four, because we have not talked about at all, and understandably, Danilo Gallinari at all, because he was supposed to be that guy. Now, will he be back for the playoffs? Will they rush him back? What's going to happen with him? We don't know. That could be another quote unquote acquisition that they get in April. Now, that'll be what? 7 months, 8 months from his ACL.
It's early. Yeah,
that's kind of pushing it.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about who came back. Was it Adrian Peterson who came back? like 6 months from we ain't talking about Adrian Peterson here from 2012 or whatever that was. But you know, that's the guy that they could use, to be honest with you, is Gallinari. And unfortunately, he's in, you know, he's traveling with the team. He's around, but he's in rehab. He's, you know, it's going to be some months. So I think a stretch four might be exactly what they need. But those guys are hard to find, you know.
Yeah.
So I think we're just going to have to wait and see, especially in February rolls around, who becomes available, what teams become sellers. And as we know, Warren, with this play-in tournament, now every freaking team thinks they have a shot.
Yeah.
So the amount of guys who are available aren't as plentiful anymore, because teams who are four games out of the play-in are like, you know, in the old days, 2-3 years ago, they'd be like, yeah, we got no shot at the playoffs. But now they got a shot at the play-in, so they're not going to make a move. So it'll be all, I think, shake out over the next several weeks. But I do think, like you said, a stretch four or a space-eating five would help them. Who can produce could help them.
Yeah. I think those are all great points. And as we alluded to, I think, you know, as you alluded to, 6 weeks away from the trade deadline, my sense of it is that there's probably not a deal right now that they can make. And it's probably the buyout market more than anything else. But I would be surprised if they just stand completely pat. Like something, they'll do something to improve this roster one way or another. So I love that New Year's resolution for you from Gary, you know, making sure that they at least get somebody to improve this roster. And I'm going to give you mine, one more from a, you know, almost a nerdy basketball standpoint, but I don't want your take on this. So right now the Celtics are second in three-point attempts, second three-point makes, eighth in three-point percentage. They are fifth in two-point percentage, but 29th in two-point attempts. I want to see the Boston Celtics take a couple more twos in this new year, especially when things are not going right for them. Tatum and Brown, and Tatum's getting to the line, you know, I think one of the highest rates he's had, if not the highest in his career. Brown can, I think, can get to the line a little bit more as well, too. But even outside of them, it's the Marcus Smarts of the world. It's the Grant Williams. And they've all become good or acceptable three-point shooters. But I think as a roster, I would love to see those two-point attempts not be 29th in the league with the fifth best percentage. So if you can bring that to even 18, 19, somewhere that, get into, not out of the bottom third, you know what I mean? And maintain that level of percentage shooting. I think this team will have even a higher level of efficiency and will be able to get out of ruts when those do come, because you cannot just consistently say, okay, the three ball will be the home run, the elixir that we need every single time. That's my take on it. That's why I want to see for the new year, Gary. What are your thoughts on more two-pointers from the Boston Celtics?
Warren, you speak to the choir. This team takes too many damn threes. They fall in love with it, and they're not hitting them. I look at the Denver game. They start out 3-for-19, and then they're trying to rally because Denver hit those. Denver hit, you know, Denver took theirs and hit theirs, and the Celtics didn't. And it's to the point now, it's like, you know, I'm not like – It's the 3-point is such an allure. It's such an attractive feature. Scored, you know, 50% more points per possession, a three instead of a two. But there's something to be said about getting that damn easy two, throwing a lob to Rob, Marcus Smart in the post, Jaylen with the mid range, Tatum with the mid range. As you said, the reason why they're fifth percentage because they got guys who can hit twos, right? They got guys, you know, Robert scores at the rim, Jason with the fadeaway, Jaylen with the step back, Marcus with the post up. They've got guys who could put the ball in the hole from inside the arc. But I just think they fall in love with the three. They like, and it's great when you can, let's say, you know, hit 7 of your first 9 and really put a team in the hole, and all of a sudden they're – but that doesn't happen all the time. I just look at the Denver game. They started 3-for-19. They didn't hit one in the second quarter, right? I think they were 3-for-4. I think, we'll be, okay, 14 of their 24 attempts in the first quarter against Denver were three-pointers. They hit three. They went 0-for-5 in the second. So they were 3-for-19 at halftime. Like, and, you know, and then Denver hit all their damn three. Denver was very good from beyond the arc, you know, beyond what the, you know, you – predict, you know, like the numbers, they just blew out the numbers, their normal numbers. They're a solid three-point shooting team. They were very, very, very good in that game. But I just think sometimes they could shoot themselves out the game, the Celtics, with the three-point shot. They, you know, especially, I mean, I've just seen some air balls. You know, Malcolm's hit, shot a couple of air balls. You know, like, I think it was one possession, Malcolm took a pull-up three. No, man, it's not your game. You know, like, shoot in the flow of the game. And you're shooting a good percentage with the pull-up three. That's for 3 to 4 guys in this league. Like, you bet hit that shot. Right. Steph, Clay, at times Tatum or whatever. There's certain guys, you know what I'm saying? Trey, we all know. And you let, like, leave that for them. On the break, if you need a bucket, get the two if you need that two. Don't pull up for a hit or miss, you know, all or nothing three. And you're right, Warren. I do think they need to take more two-point shots, focus in scoring in the paint, and, you know, get some buckets. It's okay if they hit a three. It's okay to hit a two. You don't have to go for three, then you miss, then you hit another three, then it's a 6-0 run. You got to be better at that, and I think that's something they can improve on.
Yeah, I love that, Gary. And I think, you know, when you watch basketball, there's a lot of times right now my stepson's playing basketball, and it's obviously at the high school level. And I see the team get pressed, and you just realize a lot of times how things game flow, how you let another team dictate your pace. So the same thing when people are pressing, you feel like, oh, now I got to speed up. Well, really, against the press, you're supposed to kind of slow down, ball fake, you know, get cut and get to spots, as opposed to trying to go 1,000 miles an hour. And it's the same thing when the other teams are hitting threes. You don't try to do that match for match if that's not your game. Like, you know what? Hey, well, they'll eventually cool off, especially if you continue to get in the basket. And so with that fifth percentage in terms of two-point makes on the year, they're also first in free throw percentage this year. So they shouldn't be afraid of getting contact and going to the line because they're knocking down their free throws. So to me, I think that is an easy fix that can get Boston to be at another level of efficiency the rest of this year. And definitely hopefully into the playoffs as well too, because again, you just cannot always rely on that. And if you take a couple and the first ones don't go in, get to the basket and hopefully somebody on the floor will make a play call or try to run something that gets them going to the basket in a more demonstrative manner. Unfortunately, the Celtics are now 22nd in points in the paint this year. So maybe they're not going to just go here and just, run wild out there, but definitely those mid-range shots. As again, a lot of great mid-range shooters on this team. So I'd love to see that happen for them, you know, for the rest of this year. So I think those are two great New Year's resolutions for the Boston Celtics. Gary saying, hey, let's go ahead and try to add more talent. Don't be content with the roster as it is. And mine is definitely to shoot some more damn two-pointers. You know what I mean? Be a little bit more efficient, you know, and get things going. I think this is a great addition here. First New Year's edition of Believe in Celtics brought to you by Bet Online. So the Celtics have quite an interesting stretch. You'd think, oh, it's, you know, they're going on the road against OKC and the Spurs, two teams they never play well against, especially on the road. And then, of course, another damn game in Dallas. And Luka's playing the best basketball of his absolute career right now. It's going to be a rough week for the Celtics. So hopefully they can rebound from this Denver Nuggets game here and get some dubs. But again, it's just not going to be easy going against those three teams who they've had some issues with, you know, traditionally. Gary, I want to thank you as always for joining us here and giving in your great insight. Thanks for all the knowledge you've provided here on Believe in Celtics. He is a great guy to watch. But again, make sure you're following him on Twitter. Make sure you follow me on Twitter as well, too. And we'll catch y'all next time here on Believe in Celtics, brought to you by BetOnline. Have a good one.